you.
IHSITE.com or call Glenn at 800-970.
Do you have the food that will nourish your family through a day of disaster? Most long-term storage supplies do not include animal proteins. Round out your long-term food storage with freeze-dried meats from the Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest long-term storage meats. Frozen foods.
Dan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who was an investigative reporter from Israel, who really was more or less forced to flee from his country because of threats on his life. And now, of course, they've filed a large claim, and actually he lost a lawsuit. Of course, he wasn't there to defend himself, charging him $10,000 for calling somebody a member of the Shin Bet, which is the Israeli counterpart of the FBI. And so we're really fortunate to have Barry here because he's very insightful. He's certainly been on the front lines of so many of the political murders and so much of the intrigue that's gone on in Israel over the last decade or decade and a half. And so it's always a pleasure to introduce Barry Shamish. Hi, Barry. How are we doing?
I'm fine, but you're absolutely right. I made headlines in Israel. Front page in some papers.
And do you think maybe they were just trying to discredit you?
Well, of course.
Okay.
This goes without saying. To give a little background, and I will explain this today, but to give a little background, I essentially was fined for calling someone a member of the CIA. That's what a Shabak agent is.
Okay.
He's a member of the Israeli Secret Service.
All right.
Now that must be a tremendous crime to be fined for it, but that's what happened.
Well,
I didn't fight this case. First of all, I was in America. All right, there was no reason to fight it, none whatsoever. Why should I even care about Israel anymore? But secondly, I knew it was hopeless. Because I had already gone through the exact same thing with another Shabak agent. Now, I'm going to actually tell you how it's done also in America. It's the same stuff where you get kids. Usually these kids are in a lot of trouble. And pedophilia, by the way, is a real motive for trapping kids. If you have a kid who's going to go to prison, and you say to him, look, we'll rip up your case, you don't have to go to prison, you'll probably be raped and maybe even murdered in prison if you were a child molester. Well, you just do what we tell you to do, and we'll just rip up that legal problem that you have. And that's how you get someone to betray their friends and to betray everyone they ever knew, just to stay out of prison. And that's the case of Yigal Amir. The murderer of Rabin was in fact a pedophile, and that's how you get young boys who can't stand the humiliation and what it'll do to their family. They sign away their lives. Now, that's not in every case, but it's certainly in many cases in Israel that's how they get people to become agents. They were in trouble, and they get them out of trouble. But my person, his name is Itamar Ben-Gavir, and I wrote very harsh things about what he was up to during the pullout from Gush Katif.
Right, but did you have any hard evidence that he was actually a member of the counterpart of the CIA? And we're going to be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish. We talk about this unfortunate case that made headlines in Israel within the last week. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10. $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Barry Shamish. He's talking about this gentleman that he accused of being the part of the Israeli counterpart of the CIA. And, of course, the question would be, could it be that he was just working for them and not actually an agent?
Well, I don't know, but that distinction, if you're working for them, you're being an agent of them.
Right.
But look, the point is you've got to conduct operations whose goal is the good of the country, while not the good of the country. The country, the establishment of the country, while appearing to be illegal. And you've, in the case of Israel, if you were opposed to peace, you've got to conduct a series of absurd operations that paint all protesters of the so-called peace movement or the suicidal movement of Israel as wacko, as radical. The key of an agent provocateur is to appear to be on the side of the protesters while in fact working for the government. And it's a process that goes on in Israel through infiltration. Well, it never ends. That's how they cleared out Gush Katif. And I wrote a whole book in which Itamar Ben-Gvir is in fact a central character by making the evacuation of the Jews from Gaza an inevitability. While appearing to be supporting the settlers, he is in fact supporting the police and the army. Now, I'm gonna give one example, and I'm gonna go backwards. I don't want to confuse your listeners, but Itamar, a week before the pullout from Gush Katif, it was July 28th of the year 05, Itamar Ben-Gvir and a group of his followers appeared in Gush Katif where resistance was being prepared at a hotel called Maoziam Hotel, where Arya Eldad, a member of the Knesset, and Nadia Matar, leader of the Women in Green, and about 2,000 young people were gathered to fight the soldiers. Now, the government decided this was a very dangerous thing to actually be fighting 2,000 resistors. So they send in Itamar Ben-Gvir and a gang of about 20 of his fellows, and immediately they overturn the hotel. They paint a big sign on the side of the hotel opposite an Arab village that says, "Mohammed is a pig." All right? Big letters, "Mohammed is a pig." The next thing you know, the Arabs are really upset. You know, that's no provocation, right? Going to lunch, looking out your window, and it says, "Mohammed is a pig" on the hotel. And the Arabs came and started throwing stones. And Ben-Gvir is so-called arrested. He's taken away from the hotel by the police just as the trouble begins, so he will be safe and he won't be blamed. And the next thing you know, his gang are fighting Arabs. There's now rock throwing. It ends up with a little gun shooting. A son of a good friend of mine, the Shimon Citrin, I'm friends with his grandparents. He was arrested for shooting an Arab, and he was later acquitted. But nonetheless, the police came in to stop the violence, because now there were Arabs and Jews and rock throwing and guns, and that gave the police their first legal excuse to come in and clear out the whole hotel. All 2,000 protesters were all tarred with the same brush, that they were causing a riot with Arabs. And that was the end of the protests. It's that simple. They were not doing anything illegal. They were staying in a hotel. They were planning to stand up to the army and give a good show of it, at least, until Ben-Gvir showed up, committed extremely illegal acts, and cleared out all protests from Gush Katif. Now, as a result of this, Nadia Matar went on the media, whatever way she could, and called Ben-Gvir a Shabak agent, whose sole goal was to cause disruptions and make it impossible to defend Gush Katif. And then Arya Eldad went on TV, a major show, and said specifically, Itamar Ben-Gvir is a Shabak agent. He was there to make sure there was no one to defend Gush Katif. He caused a ruckus. He caused the police to come in. He caused us to be cleared. He did it for the Shabak. Now, I reported this, and why not report this? This is the whole Israeli media reported. The only difference is I've been following this guy for a long time, and this was not his first operation. It was a long series of operations. Now, remember, and I know this is complicated, but I'm going to talk about two Shabak agents, agents provocateur, whose goal is to cause trouble and get people arrested. Thanks to Ben-Gvir, the other one is Avigdor Eskin. So you don't get confused. Itamar Ben-Gvir and Avigdor Eskin both sued me, and they both were responsible for endless people being put in jail. At the Moaz Hayam protest, there was no protest. It was Ben-Gvir's kid kids who did the protesting, not the actual girls from Women in Green or Ariel Dodd. But nonetheless, 400 were arrested. 400 were put in jail. And by the way, some of them stayed there for months. For months, these were 13, 15-year-old girls, and he got them all arrested. The police came in, took them away, put them in prison, and they were kept there most until after the evacuation. And he's causing harm in a way that the country knows about. Okay, and I wrote about this. This is what I wrote about. Now, I sent you an article. Did you happen to read the second part about Ben-Vir?
Yes, I did.
Was it a convincing collection of evidence?
Well, it was a very interesting collection of evidence. And, you know, certainly it would depend upon where you came from. Certainly, there's a great deal of evidence to suggest that, you know, he is certainly is the enemy of the Israeli people. But, of course, is that, and then maybe he is an agent of the Shabbat. I just don't know.
Well,
so
you
wonder why
court,
anybody would do this and why he would get so much publicity unless there was a force behind him. And, of course, why he would do everything to shift the issue, which was, of course, the army coming in and forcing the people out of Gaza to a conflict between the Israelis and the Arabs, do everything they could to inflame the Arabs. That just doesn't make sense.
Oh, you're so smart. That's precisely the point. Nothing he does makes sense. Now, I'm going to give just a couple of little examples just before the Rabin assassination when the Shabak was really in action. Now, there was a film on Israeli television about the organization, Yigal Amir, the patsy, the one who was sitting in prison for Rabin's murder. His organization, Ayal, there was a huge expose on Israeli TV about Ayal. And it showed us training camp where effigies of Arabs are being shot at. And who organized the film? Well, it was, what can you say? It was Ben-Gvir again. It was the same guy. He organized the film. The only problem was the film was a phony. There was no camp. This was all set up for Israeli television to get the public aware of who Ayal was. And the director was a member of the Shabak. His name was Eitan Oren. And I went on TV over this little film, and I said, with the evidence gathered by the great Israeli journalist Adir Zeek, and I said, why didn't you fire him as soon as you found out that he was a Shabak agent? It was exposed. And they said, well, he was under contract, and we couldn't just fire him. The point is, Ben-Vir made a film for a Shabak director, Eitan Oren, to smear the organization that the shooter of Rabin was supposedly at the top of Ayal. Now, this gets it goes on with the assassination, and there is Rabin's cabinet minister, Benjamin Ben-Eliezer, well, Ben-Gvir's boys, while he's sitting in the car, jump on the hood and jump on the roof and scare Ben-Eliezer. You know, the guy's got bodyguards. You can't just jump on a cabinet minister car and jump on it. But Ben-Gvir could. Nobody heard him. But did he go to jail for endangering a cabinet minister? Of course not. So the next thing he did, he left a note on Rabin's car that said, we got to your car, next time we'll get to you. That was on Rabin's car about 2 weeks before Rabin was murdered. A note from Ben-Gvir saying that we got to your car where the week before he jumped on Ben-Eliezer's car. None of this could have been done without help. None of it. I can't leave a note on the Prime Minister's car, and I can't jump on the Prime Minister's Transport Minister Ben-Eliezer's car unless the Secret Service are letting me jump on his car. That happened just before Rabin's murder. Now I'm going to give you just a beautiful example, which if I was in Israel, I might have bothered to show to the court.
Well, you're going to have to hold that till we get back. We'll be back in just a moment here with Barry Shemesh right here at the American Freedom Network.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I want to tell you about our plans at Genesis to take Ron Paul Revolution to the air. The Ron Paul Air Corps plans to put 100 banner flights above the American cities to get the message out about Ron Paul. By the end of December, we plan to be ready to fly in Iowa and have 50 cities covered by February 5th. In order to accomplish this project, we need your help. Come to RonPaulAirCorps.com and make a contribution. It costs approximately $400 per hour to fly, so we need your generous support. Please consider donating to the RonPaulAirCorps.com. As the ground troops canvass the neighborhoods, we plan to provide air support drawing as much media as possible. Come to RonPaulAirCorps.com and make a contribution. That's RonPaulAircorps.com. Here's to freedom, the Constitution, and liberty. RonPaulAirCorps.com.
Hi, I'm David. And if you wake up at night to urinate like I was, then you'll want to take advantage of this special risk-free offer. If you have dribbling, burning, or pain during or after urination, then you may have a condition known as benign prostate enlargement. This is potentially serious and can get worse with age. So get regular checkups from your doctor and take advantage of this special risk-free offer on Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate contains natural ingredients that help support a healthy prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more beta-satosterols than ordinary soft palmetto. So it's powerful and it works. What's better is that Beta Prostate is a healthy supplement, so you don't need a prescription for it, and it's risk-free.
For your risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. Try Beta Prostate risk-free. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Are the ancient prophecies being fulfilled? Are we living in the end times? Why do the Muslim nations want to destroy Israel, and why is the United States selling sophisticated military weapons to Saudi Arabia and the other Muslim countries? Why is the incidence of UFO sightings increasing, and why is that important? Well, you'll find the answer to those and many other questions in Lynn Marzulli's exciting book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, because the book discusses the ancient prophecies and the supernatural force that's directing the course of world events today. You can purchase Lynn's book at www.spiraloflife.com. That's spiraloflife.com. And if you read Lynn's book, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. Here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. Well, with us this afternoon is Barry Shemesh, and he's telling us the story of certainly the skullduggery that was going on over in Israel that preceded the assassination of Rabin, and how obviously some of the people, the characters associated with the assassination of Rabin, were being allowed to create a persona, a personality that, of course, would convince the Israeli people that they would be the assassins of Rabin. In other words, just as Lee Harvey Oswald had to convince the American people he was really pro-communist when he was actually working for the American intelligence agencies, so the same thing happened over in...
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
I will. Just 1 second. I'm on the air. Please phone back in half an hour. Bye. Hello?
Go right ahead.
Okay, this is my other phone. Look, I'm going to give you what should have won the court case. Now, we spoke briefly about Ayel, about the organization that Yigal Amir, the shooter of Rabin, was the head of. He was partners with someone who was exposed as a Shabak agent. His name was Avishai Raviv. Avishai Raviv got into a heck of a lot of trouble a week after Rabin was assassinated, when it turned out that his partner, Yigal Amir, was working with a Shabak agent named Avishai Raviv. This is just plain history. What is not history, and what I brought to the trial, I received a tape of Yigal Amir's interrogation with the police. And this tape was, I guess, 3 hours long, of the real interrogation of Yigal Amir. And in that interrogation, Yigal Amir does not confess. Far from it. What Yigal Amir says is shocking. Now, I'm going to summarize. Itamar Ben-Gavir was working with Avishai Raviv, the Shabak agent. From the age of 17, he was working with Raviv. Yigal Amir, on this incredible tape I have, says to the police that he was on the way to the rally when he was informed that Itamar Ben-Gavir got a gun from Avishai Raviv and it had blank bullets in it, and he was going to shoot Rabin with blanks. This is on the tape. Yigal Amir says that Avishai Raviv, everyone knew he was in the Shabak. And he says that Itamar Ben-Gavir was supposed to shoot Rabin. And that is a tape the Israeli public has never, ever seen. And it's unbelievable. When I got this tape, I gave it to the media every which way you could imagine. And I said, put it on the air, let the people see what he really said. They gave us Dr. Tapes with Rabin Amir confessing and Amir giving talks about God and how he was ordered by God to kill Rabin. All of these things were phony. I had the real interrogation, and I still have it sitting in Israel. Had Itamar Ben-Gvir lost this case, had he, the courts would have had to have accepted that I have actual filmed evidence that Itamar Ben-Gvir was supposed to be the shooter of Rabin, that he was working with the Shabak agent Avishai Raviv to fake kill, to shoot Rabin with blanks. And I gave it to my lawyer. I said, play it to the court. I gave him the transcript of the meeting. I said, show it to the court. This alone should have put an end to any doubt that he was a Shabak agent. This alone should have been shown to the Israeli public. It's the most amazing piece of evidence. It's better than the Zapruder film. Talking to the police and denying that he shot Rabin, outright denying it. Now, I'm going to add a few things that he said on this tape. He said that it was a plot at the highest levels of the government led by Shimon Peres to kill Rabin. That came from Yigal Amir.
And he was the man who was eventually convicted of shooting Rabin, is that right?
Yes, he's sitting in jail for it.
Well, but how did they, well, when we get back, I want you to tell me how they got him to take a gun and apparently fire it at Rabin. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as triamethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are remove without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our 1-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, rocket trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest is Barry Shamus. Barry, before we go on with the story, because there's lots of things I'd like to know about it, this is the assassination of Rabin, why don't you get out your website, your telephone number, tell people how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs, how they can get to your website.
Sure. This story, which, by the way, we haven't begun. It's simple. Nonetheless, it's in Bye Bye Gaza. That and my other books, you just go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. You write my name where it says search. That's C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's Shamus. You'll get my books. Don't get them in color or in black and white. They're quite reasonably priced. My website is the Barry Shamus website, but BarryChamus.com will get you there. I'll leave you a phone number for the DVDs, including Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. I've caught that DVD. And 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. Now let's get back. I had a case, and I knew I couldn't win it, because the idea of these cases was to put an end to Barry Shamus. This all these cases happened at the same time that I started reporting on Sharon's phony stroke, and I got a stroke, and then I got in a car crash. All of this was in a three-month period where it was clear that I was a marked man. Now, I'm going to finish with Itamar Ben-Gvir. I want to go into another case because I got a dry run of what I could expect with Ben-Gvir beforehand, and I understood it was all rigged in. But Ben-Gvir was working with Avishai Raviv, the known Shabak agent, proven Shabak agent, who was the head of IL, the organization that murdered Rabin. That's complicated if you weren't there. It's easy if you're an Israeli, but that's a fact. I have a tape of Yigal Amir saying that he was going to be the shooter of Rabin. And Amir, by the way, on this tape, says a heck of a lot more, including that Perez was behind the assassination. Yigal Amir says it, and no one in Israel would air that tape. And I went to all the media I could get to. They wouldn't air the tape. There was a case where I actually went to the police and forced Channel 10 News to return the tape to me. They wouldn't even return it. It eventually got returned. It was dynamite. It could have exploded the whole Rabin case. And in the middle of that case was Shabak agent Itamar Ben-Gvir. Now, I'm gonna add just, well, there's a lot to say, but I'm gonna add two little points of a very long career by Ben-Gvir. Ben-Gvir had a singer, her name was Sinead O'Connor, a popular singer, but quite left-wing. Anyways, he admitted to threatening her with murder. Sinead O'Connor and her band were threatened with murder if they set foot on Israeli soil. And Ben-Gvir went on the radio and said, we have succeeded in canceling a horrible anti-Israel act from appearing in our country. That's attempted murder. He should have been taken in by the police for admitting that, well, that he threatened with murder a popular singer. And this is, again, another case where he never goes to jail for anything he does. Never. And more recently, Bush came to Israel, and a lot of people were making posters, and they were going to hang them all around Jerusalem. But Ben-Gvir was arrested twice on the day before Bush was supposed to arrive for putting tremendously provocative posters up with his boys. Both times he was released. But after that, all the other posters came down because they were illegal and provocative. Anything that opposes this horrible peace process, anything, they send Ben-Gvir into action before the actual protesters arrive to give the police the precedent to stomp out all protests. What the man is doing and has been doing for a long time is allowing Israel to die. He's just been supporting the forces that are killing Israel. And I wrote it, and by the way, it's not like I'm alone in this conclusion. Thanks to many other people, including Nadia Matar, they know that he's a Shabak agent. But I'm going to give one last, I could go on with this, but I'll give one example because I want to give you my dry run. I got a phone call from the city of Efrat, and the story is, it was from a friend of Aryeh Eldad's, and he said, look, Barry, Aryeh dropped his case on because he just didn't want to waste his money on lawyers. He would probably lose, so he ended up apologizing, and he found out that he made one little mistake. He was in the Knesset Foreign Affairs and Security Committee, and he looked to Avi Dichter, he was the head of the Shabak. And he said to him, how dare you guys plant a bad word in Hebrew. How dare you plant an SOB like Ben Gvir amongst our people. And Dichter stood up and said, I swear to you, he is not one of ours. He works for police intelligence. That was going to be my witness if I was there for the trial, which I was not. I will never go back to Israel now because there'll be a court order for me to pay this guy, and I will never donate to a slime ball like him. Never, never, never. But I knew I had to leave Israel anyways for far more serious reasons, one that I wouldn't live long there. But you have to understand that to get rid of Barry Chamish, it wasn't just Ben Gvir. He was just part of a long and dangerous campaign. Now, I was sued by Avigdor Eskin. Again, a member of Koch, the same guy as Itamar Ben-Gvir, so-called right-wing leader. Again, right-wing leaders are not supporting the right-wing. They're supporting the government. The ones that are active are doing things that no protester on the face of the earth would do because they're ineffective, and the public views the protest movement with great disdain after they do them. Avigdor Eskin, I'm going to give you just a couple of his actions. The Pulsa Denara is a death curse. It's an ancient Kabbalistic death curse. 1 month to the day when Rabin was murdered, he was outside Rabin's home, the Prime Minister's home in Jerusalem, with nine other men, a million. You need 10, a quorum, to make the prayer work. And they put a death curse on Rabin. That was Avigdor Eskin. So, of course, when Rabin was killed, they blamed the right wing because they wanted him killed. Avigdor Eskin gets girls to do his dirty work. Tatiana Suskin handed up posters of Muhammad having illicit relations with a pig in Hebron. She was Eskin's girl. Larissa Trimbobler, who married Yigal Amir and somehow had a baby with him. She didn't marry him. There was no rabbi. There was no wedding. It doesn't matter. To the public, somehow or another, Yigal Amir slept with her and had a son. All of this comes from Avigdor Eskin. Avigdor Eskin put a pig's head on the grave of an Arab leader. El Kassin was his name. All of this was done, and he sued me for saying it was done for the Shabak. And again, who else was it done for? The good of the Israeli people? But I went to court, and he claimed that I put on my website things that damaged him. I didn't have a website. And I explained to the court that I don't own any websites. And he brings out these obscure sites, but one site I'd never even heard of the site. And he explains that I put it on this obscure American site, which no Israeli ever read. And I said to the judge, I don't know what this site is. I don't own this site. And frankly, I have no control over what they publish. You want to go find him and sue him. Now, this went on, and the judge said he was going to be kind to me. Eskin sued me for like 20,000 shekels. The judge charged me with 3,000. But that was not being kind to me because I wasn't guilty. Now, here is what happened. I went to the court after the verdict, and they wouldn't give me the court records. When you go to court in Israel, it's printed out on a computer, and you go home with the court records. And I said, I want the court records. I just had a trial, and I want to consider an appeal. You have 15 days to launch an appeal in Israel. I phoned a week later, and I said, ma'am, time is running out for an appeal. I need my court records. She said, I'm sorry, the computer doesn't work. I said, what do you mean the computer doesn't work? She said, well, we're transferring the records from one computer to another, and we can't get your records. I said, you have to get to my records by law. I have 15 days to appeal, and I need the records. And she wouldn't do it. They wouldn't give me the court protocols. So I went to an attorney, Dove Evanor, and he phoned the court. They threatened them like crazy, and they agreed to send him the court records and not me. By the way, she told me I can get the records from Eskin. I said, why would I get them from Eskin? You send me the records. She said, well, he's got them, and we can't give you your records. Dove Evanor gets the records with 2 days to go. And he said, how could you have said such stupid things? How could you say that you deliberately opened the site to smear Avigdor Eskin? I said, I didn't say that. He says, it says you said that. It says that you opened the site, and you deliberately wrote on the site stuff against Eskin. I said, that's the opposite of what I said. And then I went over the records with him. They changed every word I said, every single word. I said, Dove, I have a witness. I had a very, very lovely girlfriend then, Sipora. She sat through the trial. I'm going to give her these records, and she'll testify that I said the opposite of what's here. And he said, get her signed. He phones up a notary in Jerusalem. He says, we only have a day to go. Barry Chambers is coming in with a witness that says these court records are all wrong. And meanwhile, Dove faxes the judge and says there's going to be an appeal launched based on these records. They're not what was said in the trial. So I rush to Jerusalem, I pick up Sipora, I rush to the notary, we get to the court with like 15 minutes to spare, court to 6 in the evening, and they inform me the judge has already ruled. He has rejected your appeal. I said, what do you mean? I haven't given it to you yet. He said, yeah, but your lawyer faxed him, and he has turned it down. I said, he hasn't read it yet. He said, how can he turn it down? I'm holding this notarized document in my hand, which half an hour ago I had notarized. How can he turn it down if he doesn't even know what is in it? He said, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to appeal. That's the ruling from Judge Lachowiecki, that your appeal is turned down. And then I phone up Evanor, the attorney, and I said, what's going on? They turned down the appeal. He said, he faxed me back, and he said there were mistakes made by the court reporter and that he's not to blame for them. And he turned down the appeal because he's not to blame for the mistakes made by the court reporter. And Doe says to me, you know, that's absolutely impossible. You realize that he dictates the court reporter. He's got a computer screen in front of him. The court reporter dictates exactly what he's told to dictate. They changed your whole trial so that you do not have any right to an appeal. He says, I'm sorry, I've never seen that in my life. You've been deemed guilty without even an appeal. He says, I've never seen that. Now, it gets even stranger. Are we running out of time, or can I dive
in? We've got about 3 minutes.
Oh, boy. All right. I'm at the Jerusalem Book Fair, it doesn't matter how. I get a public prosecutor comes up to my table and says, look, I prosecuted Avigdor Eskin. He had bombed and trashed the offices of Peace Now in Jerusalem, and he went to court. He hands me a document. He says, here is the file number, here is the date, get the document. Eskin told the court that day that I have worked for the Shabak. Get it and submit it to the court immediately. He was lying at your trial. He did so work for the Shabak. I was at the case and heard him say it. I gave Dove the numbers. Everything checked out. They would not release these court protocols to us. Dr. Stan, I could have won just with a modicum of justice. I could have won both cases. I didn't fight this case because it was a lost cause completely. They rigged the trial ahead of time. Why should I fight a trial that's rigged, that they don't care what I say or what I present, including a film that could get the entire country of Israel knowing that Yigal Amir was not the murderer of Rabin. They hushed me up, and it looks like they've arranged it so that if I go back to Israel, I'll be arrested now at the airport under a court order to pay $10,000. Look what has been done to me by Israel.
Well, it's not Israel, Barry. It's this wicked and evil people who have taken over your country. Just as here in America, it's not America that's betraying the American people. It's a little cabal of people who've taken over illegally the reins of power. So,
okay, I'm sorry, right. I should never have said Israel. The Israeli establishment ruining the country. Look what they've done to me.
And I sympathize with you, and I certainly... I'm going to get this story out, give you an opportunity to get it out. We have listeners in Israel. We have listeners all throughout the world on our shortwave, and we'll get you onto those programs as well. I think it's an important story, and you have my condolences, Barry, but there is injustice in the world, and there is evil in the world. It seems that it's all sort of focused on you, and you really need God's protection if you're going to be able to survive in this battle.
I've got it. I'm fine.
Anyway, God bless you. We'll talk to you later.
Gotcha. See you later.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Our guest has been Barry Shamus. An incredible, incredible story, but I believe he's telling the truth, because there really is corruption in both Israel and America.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and hope you enjoyed our conversation with Barry. And basically, he's talking about the man they were questioning, the man who talked about the conspiracy, was the man who was accused of having shot Rabin. And he said, I didn't do it. This was part of a conspiracy. And he laid the whole thing out on the video. and nobody in Israel would put that out any more than any of the major media outlets in America will put out what really happened to Martin Luther King, how this was simply a government hit to get rid of Martin Luther King. He had served his usefulness, and of course the same thing happened to Bobby Kennedy and to Jack Kennedy, because there are evil people at the highest levels of our government who have a different worldview. And, of course, they really want to use the military and financial power of the United States, first of all, to enslave the rest of the world and ultimately to enslave the people here. And this is why you need my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it explains how it works together, and who's really behind this. The Brotherhood of Darkness is available in book or DVD, or you can certainly get it in video, or you can get the Brotherhood of Darkness special, which is the book, either the DVD or the book or the video, and of course the tape. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And then of course our latest talk, or one of our latest talks, The Forbidden Secret. You can get it with or without the syllabus, but the syllabus will help you to understand what the President Bush means when he talks about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs a storm. He used that phrase twice in his first inaugural address. You probably don't remember it. The angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs a storm. Who's he talking about? Well, you listen to our talk on the Forbidden Secret. You'll understand. You'll understand the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years and is coming to fulfillment today. Certainly, you will want to get the DVD we have. It's called The Emergence by Constance Cumby. The DVD we have that's called The Atlantis Connection by Chris Pinto, who actually produced the Secret Mysteries DVD and the Riddles in Stone DVD. Very, very professional. But the one we have with Chris is not that professional. But it explains to you how the plan has always been that America would become the new Atlantis and lead the world to the New World Order. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me simply point out, we do have a great new four-tape set or four-CD set called the Occult's Alzheimer's Disease. And if you know somebody who is developing Alzheimer's disease, senile dementia, why, you'll certainly want to get this four-tape set. There's nothing like it. We have a great four-tape set on weather modification, book on weather modification, a DVD on weather modification. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they are changing the weather. In fact, if you get any one of those and you ask for it, we'll send you the copies of the page from Zygmunt Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, where he specifically tells how in the future we're going to be able to change the weather. We're going to be able to create droughts and storms. And the book was written in 1970. They knew exactly what was going to happen. And, of course, they were going to create new chronic diseases to disable the enemy. And, of course, we're the enemy. Are they doing a good job? We have millions of people with Lyme disease and chronic fatigue and with fibromyalgia and so many other diseases. And then, of course, we have AIDS on top of that. All new diseases, Ebola, this H5S1, H5N1, bird flu never existed before. Where did it come from? They keep telling us it's going to sweep the world. We've got a great new four-tape set or four-CD set on the Bilderbergers and two books on the Bilderbergers. One is the Bilderbergers. One is the Bilderberger Diary. And then, we have Satanic Crimes, which goes into the Bilderbergers, both the book and the four-tape or CD set. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, there really is organized evil out there. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. We'll be right back.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful, it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the Advanced Berkey Light Purifier for only $279 by calling Newmark.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and we'd hope to have with us Mr. Vito Colucci, Jr. For this next hour with his book, Inside the Private Eyes of a PI. Inside the Private Eyes of a PI. We'll just have to wait and see if we can get him. He's not answering his telephone. So right now, of course, we'll just talk a little bit about what's going on as far as the financial situation is concerned and the very real financial crisis that we are facing here in the United States. And I don't think the average individual has any idea really how severe this is. Now, of course, in lieu of a guest, we have Mr. Colucci. So fine, we'll have him on the line here in just a moment. But basically, we're involved in a meltdown of the entire financial system of the world. And many of our banks are insolvent. In fact, the chairman of the Federal Reserve System, Mr. Bernanke, has said that many of our banks are going to, smaller banks are going to collapse. He specified smaller banks, but I would like to suggest that many of our largest banks in the United States and throughout the world are financially insolvent, and as this whole program progresses, there's going to be more and more and more problems. Well, right now, let's get to our special guest for this hour, Mr. Vito Colucci. Hi, Mr. Colucci. How are you today?
Good to be on your show.
Well, of course, it's a fascinating book, Inside the Private Eyes of a PI, and you've been involved in a lot of fascinating cases, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I have. I've been a private detective for 20 years, and before that, I was a detective on the Stamford, Connecticut Police Department, where I worked narcotics and undercover organized crime.
And, of course, basically, you just went off on your own as a PI with nothing but a desk and a telephone, and now you have a major agency there with at least 8 employees. But some of these cases you've been involved in,
yes.
I was quite fascinated with this story of the missing honeymooners, because, of course, I remember when this gentleman, he was on a honeymoon on this major ocean liner, and of course, he just disappears, and we're told, well, maybe he fell overboard, but we've never got the true story of what happened.
Yeah, you see, sir, by the time the authorities... time the FBI got there, you know, we had a washed-down crime scene. You had a lot of evidence that was disturbed. Everything went back to business as usual. Come on, let's get the boat going. We got to make our next stop. And so by the time they got involved, and I didn't get involved in it until several months after that, it winds up very tough. Everybody's back. It's a floating crime scene. Everyone's back all over the world to their homes and everything. And you know, we've gotten some decent things. In fact, this weekend I'm filming one of the Court TV shows called Haunting Evidence. I'm doing that with Dr. Henry Lee. We're filming that up in Newport, Rhode Island. So that would be interesting. It's all about the George Smith case.
Well, of course, do we have any idea? Certainly it would appear that he was killed and then the scene of the crime was immediately cleansed. Why were they trying to cover up this?
Because who knows? Maybe in their mind, the cruise line is thinking, okay, look at all the blood on the awning, that famous picture of all the blood that they showed so many times on the news shows and everything, of the blood on the awning, which they cleaned up right away. And I don't know. Either they just want, you know, it's all about money. You got to realize something. It's all about money in that industry. There's a lot of money involved. So, you know, it was just kind of like, let's get back to normal. In the old days, if you watch an old Charlie Chan movie, Charlie would have stopped the boat. He would have, nobody would have got off the boat, things like that. Now, obviously, that doesn't happen, but in a matter of an hour and a half, he would have solved the whole crime on the ocean liner. Well, but it doesn't work like that.
All right, fine. Well, maybe if you'd been there, they would have. Hang on, we're going to be back in just a moment as we bring some new listeners on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I guess this afternoon is Vito Colucci, and Vito is a private investigator. He started out as a policeman in Connecticut and eventually opened some 20 years ago his own detective agency, and now, of course, he's an internationally known authority, and he's certainly has been on most of the major television programs and been involved in some of the most amazing cases. His book, Inside the Private Eyes of a PI, one of America's top detectives, gives a behind-the-scene look into the high-profile cases and others. Fascinating reading. And, of course, we were talking about the George Smith murder. He was the gentleman who was on his honeymoon on an ocean liner.
Yes.
And he suddenly disappears. And suddenly, did he fall overboard? And then, of course, it turns out that his stateroom had been covered with blood and it had all been washed away. And the question was, why didn't the people on the ocean liner try to find out what really had happened? And everything has been done, of course, to prevent the family from learning. And you were actually engaged by the family, weren't you, to try to find out what happened?
Yes, you know, several months after it happened. And, you know, even the room itself, like you're talking about, sir, they gathered up all his clothes, all of their possessions, put it in bags. I mean, they stepped all over the room, all over the carpet. Several people went in there and, did their thing, so to speak. And this was all before the FBI got there. They gathered up everything and gave it to the wife. It was just a horrible thing. It was just, they were clueless in what they were doing. And, again, everything is just about business as usual, you know.
But, of course, the thing is that here's an obvious murder. The man must have been beaten to death. Wasn't there blood all over that room that eventually they were able to pick up by, what do they use, infrared, or what? How do they pick up blood after it's been washed away?
Well, yeah, they use something, especially Dr. Henry Lee, something called luminol, which you could see a minute part of it. But, you know, don't forget, there was a lot of stuff, or at least enough blood, we believe, on clothes and different things. But, you know, when something is stepped on and tampered with and everything else, it makes it very, very difficult, especially after the fact, when the FBI gets involved. And, of course, by the time I got involved, it was, several months down the road. But it's not over yet. It's not over yet. We have an idea who was involved in this. The man, you know, George was a little bit intoxicated. People put him to bed, allegedly put him to bed that night. But then, the other people heard a lot of thuds and noises and banging and different things like that. So it's not over yet by a long shot. The Smith family.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Vito Colucci was actually engaged by the family of George Smith, who, remember, he was the honeymooner. He and his wife were on their honeymoon, and he suddenly disappears from this cruise ship, and of course, some months later, because everything is being done to conceal the truth of what happened and who committed the murder, and the cruise line is doing everything they can to put this down. Oh, he must have fallen overboard, something of the sort, and then it turns out there's evidence he was killed in his cabin. There's blood all over, and the crime scene has been tampered with the full help and support of the people on the cruise liner. And of course, then Vito is involved now with trying to get to the bottom of this, having come on some 3 months after the crime, after, of course, everybody on board the ship had left and gone to their homes. And everything is being done by the cruise line to cover this up. And didn't they make a settlement with a wife so that there would never be a court case?
Yes, they did that, much to the surprise. I was in the process that evening of doing the Nancy Grace show, and I was doing it with Bree Smith, who was the sister of the deceased, And that was the breaking news right before we went on the air, and we had the settlement was faxed to us at the TV studio, the whole bit. So they were quite upset with that. I mean, they're a good family. George, the father, Maureen, the mother, and Bree, who's also an attorney, the sister. They made numerous appearances. And, you know, it's very tough when you witness people. And, like, I know when I saw Mr. Smith, I'd say to him some days, "How you doing today, George?" And he'd just start crying, you know. So unless you've experienced this stuff firsthand, it's very hard to understand what families go through in a situation like that. You know, it may be business as usual for other people, but when you're the family, it's not business as usual. You want justice.
And, of course, the family wants to know what happened, and every barrier has been put in the way. And that, of course, is the sort of thing that Vito does, but he's been involved in a number of high-profile cases. What about the case of Michael Skakel, S-K-A-K-E-L? He was a Kennedy who was eventually convicted, of a murder that supposedly had occurred some 20 years before. And yet you've got all sorts of evidence to point out that an innocent man is languishing in prison. So why don't you give the background of that story?
Sure. It was a murder that took place in 1975 in Greenwich, Connecticut, of Martha Moxley. It stayed for about 25 years or so. And basically what happened, he was finally indicted for murder. I got involved in the case. In fact, it was such a big case. It was the biggest case in the country in 2002. The Associated Press, I believe, voted it that, or it was just obviously the biggest case. Like you said, Kennedy cousin. I got involved in that. He was found guilty at that first trial. I was the only one rehired on to the second team from the original team. I took that as a compliment. And, and the new lawyers came in and things like that. I worked it. I was the one that located that Tony, or interviewed that Tony Bryant, the fellow from Miami, Florida, that pointed the finger at some other people for that night. I took the video of him, a statement of him. And, the appeals have not gone good, but I truly feel in my heart of hearts, and I talk about it in the book, that he is definitely not guilty. And I talk about when you're a cop and you're a private detective, you get that one case in your career where you feel something has gone wrong or something didn't turn out the way it should have. And that's the one case for me. You're not supposed to get emotionally involved in any cases, otherwise, both as a cop or a PI, otherwise you wouldn't be handling them the right way. But that's the one case that, that I really feel strongly about.
And, of course, you have a great deal of evidence or a great deal of information on the other people, the real murderers. And, well, why won't the police, pursue that aspect of it, the crime?
Well,
because these people, if you keep taking the Fifth Amendment, they won't even tell you, anything about what happened that day. They take the Fifth Amendment and a lot of things that have nothing to do with the criminal activity.
That's right. Well, see, the fellow that he interviewed, Tony Bryant, who grew up in the Bronx, but he attended the private school in Greenwich, Connecticut, that Michael Skakel and many of the people went to in that area that lived there. And so he would go on the weekends with his two friends, his two boys from New York, and it was a known fact. The kids remembered them and everything else. And basically the statement Tony Bryant gave to me on videotape, which I'm glad I got it on video, was that he was there that night with his two friends, and they picked up golf clubs off the Skakel lawn, which I had a lot of evidence from the caretaker and housekeeper there that the boys would play golf and then just drop the golf clubs on the lawn at any time. And they were using them as walking sticks that night. Now, obviously, after we took the statement and everything else, Tony gets hooked up with an attorney who says to him, "Are you crazy? You're putting yourself there that night carrying golf clubs around?" And, obviously he took the Fifth after that, and, the judge didn't buy the story. It's the court's decision. What I feel, though, Doctor, from the first trial was they had to put this case to rest, okay? It's an old case, and Mrs. Moxley is a great woman and her family, and I got to talk to her at the trial and the whole bit. But, she's there front row. The jury would look at Michael with just almost with anger in their faces. I sat front row myself and just watched their reactions, and then they'd look over at Mrs. Moxley, obviously feeling bad for her, of course. You have to feel bad for her, what she's gone through. So I feel, truthfully, there was not enough evidence. The people that testified One guy died of a heroin overdose before he could even testify. I mean, it was truthfully a cast of characters that were I felt looking for reward money. But hey, the court made a decision, and that's why we're in this country, and that's what we have to abide by.
But of course, the interesting thing to me was, of course, that the prosecuting attorney said he wanted to be very dramatic, and he didn't have any evidence. And that was the problem. There was no evidence to tie Michael to the crime, and so he used a motion. And we see how they use this, you know, all this sort of, pictures of the girl, and really what a pretty girl she was, what a nice girl she was, getting sympathy for the girl who'd been killed, and then, of course, trying to do everything they can get anger towards Michael, where there is a total lack of evidence. Why didn't Michael's attorney simply point out there is no evidence? This is all emotional. They're playing games with your minds.
Yep. Well, you know, I sat there, and the first day the trial started, I saw people on the jury look over at Michael Skakel almost with disgust. They were looking at a 41-year-old man, and they pictured him as the murderer, whereas these kids were 14 and 15 at the time. But they locked in on this, and nothing was going to change their mind. And I really, like I said, that's the one case in my 30-plus years of combined police and private detective work that I really feel very strongly about that. It could have turned out better, and I've won many, many, many cases, but this is the one that kind of sticks with you, even when, like people say, they retire from the police department and they go into their 70s and 80s, and they always think about that one case that didn't turn out right, and that's what you have here.
Well, of course, you had another very, very famous individual. His name is Jason Williams. He was an NAB, National Association of National Basketball, a player, and certainly a great big, 6'10",
yep,
a giant of a man. And of course, he was accused of killing, I guess, the chauffeur of a car. And he actually had discharged the rifle, but a shotgun, but it wasn't intentional. At least you didn't believe it was intentional. And
we won on all those charges.
And of course, why in heaven's name, though, did they falsify the evidence? Why did Jason and his friends lie about what happened initially? And why didn't they just come forward and tell the truth?
Well, you know, we would all want to think that at that one second, that couple of seconds in our life when something bad happens, that we would all do the right thing. Okay, we would want to think that way. Okay, what happened? You have to realize there was a lot of hanger-ons. Jason had just, he had signed an $85 million contract. Okay, he had gotten injured, but the money was guaranteed to him. He lived in the most unbelievable mansion that I've ever seen. I spent a lot of time. So there was a lot of people that benefited, let's say, from being Jason's friend. Okay, and what happened that night? They saw all of that crumbling in front of them. Okay? Everybody made the deals, obviously, with the prosecutor. They tell the truth. I did this. I took this. I moved this around. I did that. And, of course, you know, Jason was found guilty on those counts, the smaller counts. But, you know, between everybody's work on the case, myself included, we were able to get acquittals on the real big charges. And it was an accident, and we were able to show it was an accident. Now, what happened after the fact was a different story, and you know, the punishment was given on that.
How long did he have to spend in prison?
Well, he didn't spend any time yet. The ones he was found guilty on basically doesn't have any jail time in New Jersey. There's one outstanding charge that was basically a hung jury, so to speak. It was 6-2 or something, 6-3 for acquittal. I forgot basically the numbers on that. So they have to retry that one charge. But that looks very good for our side, too. So the couple that he was found guilty on, there's basically no jail time for that because we won on all the big charges.
And I guess basically it was for just falsifying evidence and for trying to conceal what had happened,
right,
rather than for any malicious intent on his part.
You know, it's amazing when you think about it, sir. Again, like I said, God forbid, let's say we drive down the road, we turn a corner, it's in the middle of nowhere, and God forbid you hit somebody. Okay, and the person's laying there. Now, we would all, that's just one example, we would all hope in our mind that we would pull over and do the right thing, okay? But again, I learned on this case, the Jason Williams case, that we never can tell how we're going to respond when it's our time in those kind of situations. We can say one thing, but hopefully we would follow through on it.
Well, I think it's really fascinating, some of the people you've met and some of the experiences you've had, and certainly the opportunity to be involved with some of those major crimes. When we get back, we're going to be talking about something that you had a lot of experience with, and that is, of course, divorce cases.
Right.
And I guess that's sort of the bread and butter of the private eye, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It always has been.
All right, fine. And, of course, the husband wanted to prove that his wife is unfaithful. The wife wanted to prove her husband is unfaithful. And there are a lot of fascinating stories in the book. And we'll be back in just a moment. One of the famous stories that certainly there was the husband who wanted you to track his wife and let you know where she was all the time, because of course it wasn't that he thought she was being unfaithful, it was he that was being unfaithful, and he didn't want to run into his wife or with his new girlfriend. Was that it?
That has to be the favorite story in the book. I just spoke at a place last week, and people wanted to hear that. And basically, do I have a minute to tell that story?
Yeah, you go right ahead and tell the story. I thought it was quite entertaining.
It was 2 days before Valentine's Day. The man wanted, in fact, the day before Valentine's Day, we call Valentine's Day, because that's usually the time where the people, go out with their boyfriends or girlfriends and leave their spouses at home. But anyway, this guy comes into my office, and he wants his wife followed, which is a normal thing. We've done it hundreds and hundreds of times. He comes in, I can see he has a little bit of an attitude as he comes in. He comes in a high-end Mercedes. He's got the sunglasses on the top of his head. And he tells me he wants his wife followed on Valentine's Day from 10 in the morning. He asked if we could follow her till 2 the next morning. It sounded a little bit unusual, but we say, okay, fine. I started writing down the information, her name, her vehicle, the address. He gives me a picture of her. And then he hits me with, well, I want your investigators to call me every 10, 15 minutes. I said, oh, sir, I'm sorry, we don't do that. I said, they're on the road, they're following somebody, they could be in a dead area. We just don't do that. I said, the best I could do is I'll call you early that evening, and I'll give you an update. I'm thinking in my mind the guy's probably going to be out of his mind worrying and everything. I said, I can call you around supper time, that's the best I can do, give you an update. No, 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 he's yelling and screaming. No, no, I got to have an update every 10 or 12 minutes. And he's going on and on about it. So I looked over at him. I said, well, sir, I haven't asked you this yet, but what makes you think your wife is cheating on you? He goes, and he looked at me like I was out of my mind. He says, my wife cheating? No, my wife would never cheat. He says, I'm the one that's cheating. I'm going to be out with my girlfriend that day, and I can't afford to turn a corner or go up a street and run into my wife. I need to know where she's at all the time. That's a big day for me and my girl. I did in my best Jackie Gleason invitation from the Honeymooners. I stood up and I said, get out, get out. I gathered up all his papers. I gave it to him, just like a la Jackie Gleason, and I threw him out. He said, I thought you follow people. I said, I do. I said, but you want me to follow your wife for 10, 12, 14 hours so you don't run into her when you're with your girlfriend. That, to me, is a classic case.
I know it really was. But, of course, there's so much infidelity out there, and that's really one of the big problems in our society is that these vows that people take when they get married,
mm-hmm.
they just don't honor them.
No, they definitely don't. And, if I had my choice, I would much rather be solving criminal cases than work in divorce cases, okay? But it is such a big part of the business. It's like one-third of my business. That you have to do them. I have a good staff of 6 people, so you can't turn them down. It's such a big part of the business. But I'm very happy as a Christian man when I see couples go back together and they're able to work it out. I don't get any enjoyment of when people come in and they're going through divorce cases. I got people, men and women, sitting in my office. I always have boxes of tissues here because they're crying. You got to remember something, Doctor. I see people, obviously, and maybe their worst time of their entire life, be it divorce cases or they've lost their son who died or something like that. I mean, I put in the book that when you hire a private detective, it's usually not a time to run and get the party hats. It's usually a bad time.
And I
try to help these people. I've made some good friends that started out as divorce cases.
Hold that thought. We'll be back. Sure. Just a moment, Peter. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Peter Colucci, and of course we're talking about his book entitled Inside the Private Eyes of a PI. And of course, in the opening pages of the book, he has this statement. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And of course it was wonderful to see that, of course, because this program is being largely heard by Christians on Christian stations across America. And so you coming at this from a Christian point of view, it must be a little disheartening, you know, believing the Lord and then just seeing so much vice and crime and callous indifference to God's laws.
It is. I try to carry my, not that I try, I really carry myself as a Christian for my 20 years in the business here. I've been able to minister to people. I've seen a couple that went back together that was a hopeless situation. I wound up bringing a man to church. He wound up bringing his wife. His wife doesn't even know to this day how he knew me, so to speak, and they're leaders in their church. And so I've been very fortunate to see. I mean, Jesus Christ is the rock of my life. He saved my life in shootouts on the police department and where I worked undercover organized crime with death threats to me and my family. He saved my life then. So, you know, sometimes the public thinks it's corny when you're a Christian, but they can think it all they want, because that's why I start my book with that scripture. And there's a running theme throughout the book about my Christianity in between all of these cases.
And, of course, I appreciated that very, very much as I read the book, coming from a Christian point of view myself. And I know that the derision you can sometimes come under when, of course, you profess a belief in Christianity. So I think it takes a lot of courage to write a book and to be open it with letting people know exactly where you're coming from.
Well, the book was written to honor Jesus Christ, and he gave me the book. And it's been selling great. And I give him all the honor and glory. If I could just tell you a quick story.
Go right ahead.
I self-published the book because I do so much television. In fact, just before I did your show, I just got in from taping Bill O'Reilly for tonight. So I'm on Bill O'Reilly's show tonight about the Governor Spitzer case. So I do television shows all the time, and they hold up the book. So I wanted to self-publish it because I wanted to control it. And it's being sold on Amazon, it's sold on my website and the whole bit. But several people I know that have had five or six number one best-selling books that are friends of mine, they loved the book, they took it to their publisher. And it's funny, I got an email one day from my friend who said the publisher loves it, but then as I scrolled down the email to where I saw them talking to each other, okay, there was one part where the guy I knew, who's not a Christian, said to the big publishing house, it's a great book, it's written great, but there's a born-again theme running through it, and I don't know if you would like that, meaning talking to the head guy. And I took that as a compliment. I was so overjoyed. I was so overjoyed when I saw that, because they see that. In between me talking about the cases and shootouts or whatever, there is a born-again theme. If they want to say that, that's fine with me. I talk about my Christianity throughout, and I'm not trying to plug the book, but it's interesting reading. One news show said it's the most all-encompassing book about what it is to be a modern-day private detective, because you got high profile, low profile, divorce, missing persons, whatever it may be, and it's very interesting.
Well, of course, that's an old saying, you know, if you were ever accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence out there to convict you?
That's right.
I think in this book, of course, you professed your Christianity. It's a wonderful Christian testimony, and it's a book I think Christians can enjoy reading. And yet, of course, there's so much tragedy, because we realize that there are just so many families where divorce is such a large element. And you talk about, you know, your experiences here, and of course, really what you have to do as far as, you know, collecting evidence and certainly videotaping people. And really, of course, there's so many husbands who are concerned about their wives cheating.
Right.
Or wives who are concerned about their husbands cheating. And what a terrible way to live, with that constant fear that you really can't trust the person who is your mate. And, of course, if you do get a divorce, then there's going to be terrible financial tragedies for everyone. And then, of course, if their children, already the horrible fate that befalls those children. There's nothing that'll destroy a child's life more than the divorce of their parents.
Yeah, I live in what's called the Gold Coast here. It's Fairfield County, Connecticut, which encompasses Stamford, where I live, Greenwich, Connecticut, and it's one of the wealthiest I think it's in the top three as far as being one of the wealthiest counties in the entire country. You have the movie stars that live here, the athletes for the New York teams, be it football or basketball. So you got a lot of high-end people here. And it's amazing because I referred a woman to a divorce lawyer not too long ago. She didn't have a lawyer. The divorce attorney called me back, and she said to me, Vito, thank you very much for that referral. I am going to take the case.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, forgive me for interrupting, but I have no control. That's the computer, and I have to go along with it. Anyway, you were simply talking about the attorney said to you, Vito, I'm going to take the case, and then what?
Okay, the attorney said to me, I appreciate it. She seems like a very nice lady. I'm going to take the case, but I want to let you know, Vito, for probably the next 6 to 9 months, we are not taking any more divorce cases. We are swamped. Now, this is a law firm. This is not a one-person law firm. This is numerous divorce attorneys. And I said, you are? And they said, yep, we are just bombarded. And I get that from a lot of the attorneys in the area. I know how many divorce cases we have. That's why I have six people that work for me. And it's just incredible. I mean, it's just out of control. And it's a shame. It's a reflection on our country and our values and everything else of that nature.
Well, of course, and I think it's also a reflection of the fact that wealth doesn't necessarily bring happiness, because you live in a very, very affluent area. I'm sure many of the people there are fabulously wealthy by the standards of average individuals, and yet the wealth has not brought them the happiness that they want. It's brought them just the opposite.
Oh, it's incredible, Doctor, what I see. I've worked some of the biggest divorce cases in our entire country. I've seen people split. One person get $20 million, the other get $35, then another tens of millions in houses and everything. I mean, it just boggles my mind when they sit here and I hear these numbers. It's I'll say to a woman, how'd it go today? Well, he only offered me $27 million in three houses. I'm not going to take that. And I sit here and I think to myself, $27 million in three houses? Like, when is enough enough?
Well, of course, enough, when it just gets a little bit more is the idea. When is it? Do you have enough money? When
right.
I have just a little bit more.
Oh, it's incredible. But, you know, again, I just try to, I spend a lot of time with my clients. Like I said, I just try. They know, since the offices are in my home, they can call me anytime. I'll get calls. I'm a night owl. I'm kind of up to at least midnight. And, you know, people will call me. They're just having a bad day, and they just want to talk, and I'll talk with them. And, you know, again, it's more about, you know, it's not just about dollars and cents. You know, if you could help somebody, that's the main thing.
Well, of course, that's sort of like our radio ministry. We spend an awful lot of time on the telephone just talking to people, and my wife does as well. A lot of times they just need people to somebody to talk to.
That's right.
And so anyway, when we get back here in just a moment, we're going to talk about the missing persons investigations, because apparently that is a fairly large part of what you do as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, fine. We'll just be back in just a minute, but I want to give you an opportunity as soon as we get back and all of our stations are on board to get out your website, and we'll be right back here. Well, Dr. Stan back here again, and of course, before we went to our break there, why Peter was saying that he had certainly referred this woman to a large law firm there in this very affluent area of Connecticut where he lives. And the attorney said, well, I'm going to take this case because you referred her, Vito, but we're not going to take any new divorce cases for the next 9 months because we have so many divorce cases now and we just can't get through them all. We can't take any more. And, of course, this is simply a reflection of what's happening in this very affluent area of Greenwich, pardon me, of Connecticut, there along the coast where... really, of course, marriages are breaking down because fidelity really means nothing. Because, of course, America as a nation has turned against God, and so many of our people have forgotten really what life is really all about and what's really important in life, and have turned to sensual pleasures and infidelity. And I believe there's an organized effort to undermine the moral fabric of our society and destroy the Christian beliefs of our people.
That's right. I've heard, I mean, the excuses sometimes I've heard in my office and talking to people, many people nowadays just say, you know, I'm bored with him. I'm bored with her. And I'm thinking, okay, continue. And, like, that's it. That is it. That's all they can give me, is he's boring, she's boring. You know, it's amazing. Because nowadays it's like, hey, let's just, do our thing. It didn't work out. Hey, that's it. We'll split the money evenly. You go your way, I'll go my way. The kids will be fine. And it's a clueless society on that part. You know, they really don't know because they don't seek God's word and God hates divorce. And people don't understand that. At least they don't understand it at this point in their life.
Amen to that. Well, Chris, what's that old saying about the grass is always greener in the other field, but remember, it's still got to be mowed.
Oh, that's for sure.
And, of course, you get rid of one wife, you get a new one, but there's still going to be problems.
That's
because
right.
The problem usually is not with the spouse, the problem is with you. And if you're having problems, it has to do with your relationship to God. And a very, very wise man once told me that, and I think it's absolutely true. And when so many marriages end in divorce, the relationship is not a problem between the man and the wife. It's the problem, the relationship of the husband and the wife with our Lord.
Well, I've said this many times to people, and my wife knows this also. I would never change places with anybody, a Donald Trump or anybody. Like, many people would admire people and say, oh, my God, look at that guy. He's got billions of dollars. Or look at this woman. She has Oprah Winfrey's money and things like that. I know my eternal destination, okay? I'm happy with how God has blessed me. We are not millionaires, but I don't care about being millionaires because there's more important things in life than that. And so I would not ever. I deal with the richest people around, and I see their sorrow. I see billionaires that look across the table at me and say, help me, Vito. Help me on this situation. And, I mean, hopeless. So all their money doesn't buy them any happiness. Or the biggest thing, like I explained to people, is peace. Everyone's striving for peace in their life. And you go to a Barnes & Noble or any bookstore, the biggest selling books are anything that can give you peace in your life. And they just don't realize that it's a very easy way to find that peace. And again, I don't preach when people come in my office. I'm here to do business for them. If I have an opportunity, then I will share and invite them to places. But I don't hit them with the gospel when they come in, because it wouldn't be the right thing.
Well,
coming in to hire me for a service, I need to do that. But as I become friends, and if I have an opportunity and the person is willing to listen, then I will share.
Well, I think what we do in our lives is a ministry in itself. And when people see the Christians, real Christians are really different, then that's exactly what they want.
Right.
Well, anyway, let's get around to telling people about how they can get copies of your book. Do you have a website? Do you have
Yes, I do. They could either buy it on Amazon.com if they wish, or my website, which is colucci.com, colucci.com. When they go to that, they can just click on the book part. They will see all the TV shows I do. They'll see me with Larry King and Nancy Grace and, Star Jones or whoever. It's a great website. In fact, my pastor did it for me a couple months ago when the book came out. He did a great job, and I'm getting a lot of kudos on that. And truthfully, not to brag about the book, I think the people would really enjoy it. I'm getting rave reviews from everybody. So it's a God thing, and I thank him for that.
Well, I certainly will give you a 5-plus rating on that as well.
Okay.
It was really fun reading the book. Well, let's talk a little bit about missing persons. That's another thing. You do divorce, you do certainly sometimes murder trials. But what about the missing persons? What is this all about? And how do you go about tracking down somebody who's disappeared?
Well, the missing persons cases are totally different from anything else. And the reason I say that is when a mother and father come into your office and their 14-year-old daughter has taken off, it's not a type of case like other cases where you say to them, okay, I can start on it the day after tomorrow. It's a case that you have to jump on right away because time is of the essence. And thank God I do have a great staff because all that matters for these people is to find their little girl, okay? So basically what we try to do in a situation like that, I ask 100 questions of the parents. I go over to the house. The mother lets me and maybe one of my investigators examine the girl's room. What did she take? Did she take her favorite clothes with her favorite pair of jeans? Does she have her babysitting money? Where does she keep that? Does she take that? Things of that nature. What else is missing? give me all of her girlfriend's names. We have to start talking to them. Does she have a boyfriend? Well, yeah, she's been seeing this kid, but he's 17, and we told her she can't see him anymore. Okay, good. Give me his name. So it's something that you have to jump on right away. It's a part of the business. Many different situations. I had a young man in his 20s that broke up with his fiancée. She broke up with him. He stopped taking his medication, and he was despondent, and he disappeared. So that's another situation, as well as seniors. That may walk away from a senior residence, and they suffer from Alzheimer's and things of that nature, and they disappeared. So it's all different types of scenarios. But the bottom line is, time is of the essence in all of those things I just told you. It's something you have to drop what you're doing basically and make sure somebody is handling that case. It's not we'll get on it Monday. So it's a different type of thing. Fortunately, we've seen a lot of happy endings with these things. We've seen a lot of tears with people getting back together, parents and kids. And we found the old man who's walking down the street saying he's going to the Yankee game and he's walking in the woods someplace. And so we've had a lot of good results. Those are the good cases to solve.
Well, no, because most of the girls simply are in a rebellious stage in their life, running off with their boyfriend or going over to a girlfriend's house or trying to exert their dominance over their parents, saying, I don't need you.
Oh, that's right, doctor. I'm a semi-authority. I have 5 children. They're all grown now, but the first 4 were daughters. And my pastor always says, because he also has 4 daughters, and he says, when they get to be 12 years old, they lose their mind. And all of a sudden, when they're 20 or 21, they almost look at you and say, hey, I'm back, Dad. And believe me, that's what happens. They see these boyfriends. They could be 2, 3, 4 years older than them. And how come you don't let me see him? I'm 14. And they think they know everything about the world, And so I've been able to use some of my knowledge of bringing up 4 daughters to use them on cases of that nature.
Well, I'm sure it must be very gratifying especially for the family when they get reunited with their children.
It's without a doubt, because even the child is crying. Child has run away. They're even crying with their mother. They're saying they're sorry. The mother's hugging and kissing them, the mother and father. And those are the nice endings I like to see.
Well, now, why don't they go to the police, to try to get their children back? Is it the police really don't have the time or the facilities to track them?
Well, they do. I make sure they report it to the police right away, give a picture to the police where they can notify other agencies, things like that. But, see, they're not going to go out and do the things we do right away. They're not going to run all over the place. Because a lot of times, and I know from being an ex-cop, a lot of times the police may say, well, are you sure she's not over her friend's house? You had an argument with her? Let's see if she comes back by tomorrow or so. Maybe she just stayed at a friend. So, and they're not doing anything wrong, because the police get so many calls, especially from missing adults, that all of a sudden the person shows up 2 days later, they just got away and they did their own thing. So if they followed up on every single thing, they probably wouldn't have enough time. But, we try to get, we're hired privately. I'm a private detective. I'm no more of a police detective. And it's something that I know the importance to the family, and it's something, like I said, you have to get on right away as soon as you meet with the people. Hello?
I'm just going to say that I'm sure many of the people there, the well-to-do people, are quite willing to pay simply because they want somebody who's really totally dedicated and going to be totally focused on finding their child.
Is that
a fairly a common occurrence in your office?
No, thank God. I'm glad it's not. I'm glad it's not. Even though we usually get a happy ending, I'm glad they don't come up every week, these cases. It's maybe one a month or one every couple of months, which is still a lot. Whereas the divorce things, you make it several a week. We do a lot of criminal cases here, many, many criminal cases, sometimes working for the family, like the George Smith family. Sometimes if I feel like I want to and I believe in it, I may work for the defense. So, those are the ones I like to sink my teeth into. Those are the ones that I really enjoy doing.
And you mentioned something about you knew some of the people who were involved in the O.J. Simpson trial. Do you have any thoughts at all about that?
Well, I mentioned it to some people today. You're dealing with a man here who beats a murder rap, and you think after you do that, you'd have enough sense to say, wow, I got out of that one. I'm going to disappear now. No one's going to see OJ again. I'm going to, you know, toe the line and just be a good guy and whatever, at least. But, you know, here's a man that just, he's like a magnet to trouble. You know, he's under arrest now in Las Vegas. It's just like, you know, instead of saying, I beat the system, you know, let me go do my thing without getting, you know, without being involved with anybody, and maybe people won't see me as much. He does the opposite thing. And you see that with a lot of people. I mean, you know, I mean, the Michael Jackson situation, that's never-ending. You never know when that's going to rear its ugly head with new developments. So, I mean, you know, sometimes the people just don't know when to stop. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to sound corny, but when you're living in a world with no God in your life, you don't know what to do.
Amen.
You don't have that peace. You don't have that being able to just do the normal things that Christian people do. See, a lot of people, my daughter is, one of my daughters now, well, several of them, they're all Christians, but one of them would always say, she couldn't get over, she became a Christian like 3 or 4 years ago, she's in her 30s, and she'd say, I don't understand, like, what do you guys do every night? You just, like, you just read the Bible with everybody? And she didn't realize that we have as much fun as anybody else in what we do. And now she's a Christian, and she realizes it. I mean, her life is just incredible for God. She blesses so many people financially, and I'm just so proud of her. But, you know, people don't realize that the peace you have and the fun that you do have and different, just the way you enjoy your life. And that's, being a private detective for 20 years, I think, Doctor, that's the thing I see most with people. If they don't have, whether it's a divorce case, criminal case, or whatever, there is no peace in their life. And when I have the opportunity where they say, Vito, wow, it seems like you got it all together, you seem to have a piece, then I'll, you know, share with them. But I try to help them as much as I can.
Well, I think you obviously have helped an awful lot of people. What about background checks? Is that a large part of what you do?
Yes, background checks is a big part of the private detective business. Whether you're doing a background check on somebody that's starting at a Fortune 500 company, or somebody that's starting at a mom-and-pop grocery store, or somebody that's going to be your nanny and it's going to be watching your children and driving around your Volvo. So it's all different types of scenarios, as well as, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend. And the woman wants a little bit, before she gets engaged to the guy, wants to know a little bit more about his background. There's some things he won't share with her about when he lived in New York City. And he says, oh, let's not even talk, you know, it's just you and me now, babe, we're moving on. So, you know, it's all different types of background checks. And, you know, we provide that. That's kind of a staple for the private detective business.
Yeah, some of the stories you tell are really almost unbelievable. You know, you follow this one fellow, I think he's going to Las Vegas or something, and his fiancée wants you to follow him, and he gets there and he's hugging and carrying on with some woman, and then you come back and tell her, and she says, oh, well, he had an explanation for it. And you know very well that, of course, this man is going to cheat on his wife. He's already cheating on her when he's engaged to somebody else.
Right. He was about ready to marry this woman, and then he said he had to go on a business trip to Las Vegas. Now, the woman who hired me knew that that's where his former girlfriend lived. And she was concerned about that, and we followed him. And as soon as he got off the plane, he gets his rental car, he drives right over to the girlfriend's house, disappears for a couple hours inside. Then he drives her to the strip. We're right on the middle of the strip. My person put it right on video. They engaged in like a two-minute kiss, okay, very passionate kiss right before she went into one of the places as a cocktail waitress or whatever. My client comes in. I go, Mary, I got to give you this tape. I'm sorry, bad news, you know, the whole bit. Well, she thanked me. She came in a couple days later to give me the rest of the money. And she says, oh, well, Vito, I just want to let you know it's not what you thought. It's not what you've seen on the video. So now I look at her and I go, okay, well, explain to me. What is it? She says, well, he didn't want to tell me. He went there to tell her that he's getting married, and the kiss you saw was a goodbye kiss.
And it didn't look like a Dubai kiss.
Oh, no, it was one of the most passionate kisses. And plus, he was in her house for hours, the whole bit. So, you know, again, realizing who I was dealing with, I just said, okay, you know, good luck. And I just, you know, walked her to the door. I'm not going to sit down and try to convince somebody after seeing and hearing what she saw. You know, it's kind of like, well, good luck. Goodbye.
And, of course, it's great tragedy is so often people will believe what they want to believe.
Yes, and that's what it was with that case. That's what it was. I mean, a lot of times the guys will schmooze these women over, and no, it's not like that. I don't care how many pictures the private, I don't care he saw us going to that motel. It's not what you think. And I've had numerous cases of people saying, well, you know, it's okay because she really doesn't mean anything to him and this and that.
That's an old adage, you're going to believe me or you're going to believe your lying eyes. And a lot of times they'll believe him.
That's right.
And, of course, you apparently had to do a lot of surveillance, and you tell the story of the garage door going up and down.
Well,
you really tell that?
Do I have a minute to tell you that?
You got 1 minute, right. Go ahead.
Okay, that's the first year I opened. I'm a one-man agency, middle of our winters here. It's 0 degrees. Lady wants me to follow her daughter-in-law because she believes at night the son-in-law has some emotional problems. She puts him to bed, and he goes out cheating. So I'm parked across the way. The mother-in-law gives me the dark garage door clicker so I can see the car in there and see when she's leaving or whatever. So I'm opening it and shutting it, you know, several times just to make sure the car's there. I didn't miss it. All of a sudden, I see a guy come out. He's looking at the garage door. Next thing you know, a truck pulls up with some workers. They're checking the door. They got screwdrivers. They're on a big ladder. I'm laughing hysterically because, you know, this is the super who lives right above the garage door. So he's hearing this 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. We'll finish it just a moment here.
Sure.
Well, Vita, go right ahead with the story. So suddenly the superintendent, see, here's this car garage door going up and down.
Well, he comes out. Don't forget now, it's 0 degrees. It's one of our coldest winters we've ever had. He's got his coat, his hat on, and these guys pull up in a truck, and he's pointing at the garage door. Now, I'm hysterical. I'm parked away across the way in a parking lot at a beautiful vantage point, and I'm like, tears are coming down my eyes. I'm laughing so much. They're on ladders. They got screwdrivers. The super is pointing, check that. They come down off the ladder. I see them nodding in agreement. He shakes hands with the two guys. And I got the clicker in my hand. I can't wait. The truck pulls away a little bit. The guy gives a look at the garage door, and I hit it open again. And he jumps. He shakes his head. He walks inside. I mean, that was complete boredom on my part, you know, just trying to kill time. But then again, I wound up having some fun with it. A crazy situation, but a funny one.
Well, I'm sure it must be awfully boring, these long hours that you actually have to sit there in surveillance, maybe with a thermos of coffee and a donut.
Oh, I tell you, people think, I mean, there's a lot of good, exciting things we do, but people think it's like what they see in the movies. They think that I'm involved in car chases. They think I got a blonde on each arm. It's no way at all like that. Okay, they look at some of the old movies from the 40s, and the blonde walks into the office, and she's a knockout, and she makes a play for the private detective or whatever. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. And a lot of times, like I just said to you, you're sitting 6, 8, 10, 12 hours waiting for somebody to just walk out the door. So it's a lot of downtime.
Well, of course, you've got to do it. These people are willing to pay to have it done. And of course, I'm sure it must be very gratifying when you can finally go to the husband or the aggrieved wife and say, look, they're doing, there's no evidence that they're being unfaithful to you.
Right. Oh, that is very nice. I've had people said that to me. People have said, hey, I'm going away for 5 days. I hope to hear when I come back that you're bored and that my wife did nothing. And many times we tell her that, we tell the people that if that's what we witness, and that is good news, to do that. And that happens a lot. Unfortunately, by the time people come to me, they usually have, especially the women, they have that sixth sense that men don't have. Usually, when they come to me, they already know something's going on, and unfortunately, I have to be the bearer of bad news.
Well, I thought of my own wife. You talk about women's sixth sense. My wife certainly has that. And when she is wary of somebody, I am usually wary of them as well.
Yes.
Well, our guest today has been Vito Colucci, Jr., his book Inside the Private Eyes of a PI. Fascinating reading, but even more Christian testimony. And that's really this great strength of the book from my point of view. Because, of course, what we need is more people who are willing to go before the public and testify as their belief. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Victor Colucci. It's a fascinating book where Victor, or Vito, professes his Christian belief all throughout the book. Maybe something most major publishers would not publish, but Vito publishes himself to make sure it got out. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners all across America, indeed all across the world, that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who believe in our message to help us. So if you'd like to, become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you're in a position to do it, our telephone number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to listen to more of our programs, they're available on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com, and you can listen 9 hours a day. Now, many of them are repeat programs, but we do 5 hours of talk radio every day, and you can hear most of those programs at RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, we are on shortwave, and we'll be changing our evening shortwave. That's 8 o'clock in the evening Pacific, 11 o'clock in the evening on the East Coast, to our new frequencies, which will be 5.875. That's 5.875, or 6.110. 6.110 will be changing as of the 31st of March, the end of this month. So we want you to know, and we may be changing the afternoon frequencies, but we don't have the new frequencies there. We want to also mention, of course, that if you have not yet begun making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead, food shortages are developing all throughout the world. You need to have a supply of food on hand. If you'd like to get one of our emergency food catalogs, we'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. If you already have a catalog, do not put it off, because believe me, prices are going up, and it's getting increasingly difficult for the people who are putting together these kits to get all the food that's needed. The bees are disappearing. There's droughts throughout the world. The price of wheat and rice and soybeans are skyrocketing. The price of wheat has gone up almost five times. Went from $3 to about $16 a bushel, and rice is the highest price it's ever been at over, $18 per 100 pounds. Anyway, you need to understand that there's real problems with food laying a supply, and if you'd like to get a catalog, our number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We have a great new DVD. It's on the planned police state. I recommend it. Admittedly, you're going to have to watch me talking, but there's some other footage in there, the Iran-Contra hearings and elsewhere, where people are trying to get the word out. Congressmen are trying to get the word out. There is a plan, in the case of a national emergency, to suspend the Constitution, to round up Americans and put them in concentration camps. And that's, of course, why they've given a contract to a Halliburton subsidiary, KRB, Kellogg, Brown & Root, for $385 million to stand by to build concentration camps in the United States. Why would they want to do that? Because they're people who hate freedom. And when you understand the brotherhood of darkness, when you understand the forbidden secret, all of that becomes obvious. And you can get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or CD, the DVD of the story of the forbidden secret, by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. If you want to know about the people who are involved, why, we have a four-tape set on the Bilderbergers. We have a DVD on the Bilderbergers. It's called Endgame, put together by Alex Smith. We have two books on the Bilderbergers. We have another book called Satanic Crimes. It goes into the Bilderbergers. We have a four-tape or four-CD set on Satanic Crimes. It goes into the Bilderbergers. This is not imaginary. There really are these satanic forces in the world today, and our job is to get the knowledge of it out and get people understanding what's going on. So please, of course, tell others, encourage them to listen to our program.